Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your weekly briefing on the strategic business impact of AI. This week, AI proved it's no longer just a trend. It's the invisible engine running the world's most high-stakes systems. On the fundamental front, Google simulates brain plasticity in its AI, while OpenAI lobbies the US to expand the CHIPS Act, showing the race for smarter models requires government support. But the real story is where the models are already working. AI is defining culture, finance, and governance. We look at how recommender systems and mastering tools are quietly shaping the Grammy nominations. We dissect how the near $1 trillion payout for Elon Musk is fundamentally a massive AI bet, flagged by risk models at major funds. And we show how NLP over Supreme Court rulings powers outcome scenarios in high-profile cases. Before we dive in, a quick word for the leaders listening. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech: getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. AI Unraveled is the single destination for CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads. Secure your mid-roll spot. The link is in the show notes. Stick around as we unravel the invisible models running your week.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. You sent us a whole batch of sources, news reports, business briefings, cultural notes, and they all point to one thing: November 2025. That seems to be the moment AI stopped being this future concept.
Yeah, it's really become the now. It's actively driving culture, finance, even politics.
Right.
No longer abstract.
And that's what we want to unpack today, this massive shift, this, what are we calling, the $1 trillion pivot?
Exactly. We're going to look at the sources you provided and show you how AI is reshaping, well, almost everything. Media, global power dynamics, connecting the dots so you get those aha moments about how it's actually working in the real world.
Okay, let's start with culture. Media. Yeah. It feels like AI's influence there is huge, but maybe kind of invisible, like the 2026 Grammy nominations.
Oh, definitely. The artists nominated, that pool was shaped by AI long before any official announcements.
How so?
Well, the traditional A&R role, you know, finding and developing artists, that's increasingly driven by AI recommenders. Think TikTok, Spotify.
So the algorithms are the new talent scouts.
In a big way, yeah. Labels are looking hard at engagement data, skip rates. Basically, which songs are people actually listening to? Which ones are blowing up organically online? That data decides who gets the big promotional push.
And it's not just finding the music. The music itself is changing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Many of the nominated tracks we see, they already used AI tools for mastering, separating tracks, even helping with lyrics sometimes.
So the Grammys are playing catch up.
Totally reactive. They're scrambling to make rules for tech that's already filtered the nominees they're choosing from. It's kind of baked in already.
Okay, similar story in video. You highlighted Netflix's Death by Lightning.
Yeah, that's a fascinating case study in what the sources call algorithmic hitmaking. AI is involved at like every stage.
How does that work?
Well, they use computer vision AI that can see the video to automatically find and clip the most dramatic, shareable moments for social media.
Ah, for trailers and promos.
Exactly. Then large language models step in. They write different titles, create different thumbnail images, all localized, all personalized, to maximize the chance that you specifically will click on it.
And the recommendations go beyond just suggesting similar shows.
Oh, much deeper. The AI looks for really specific audience overlaps, the people who watch serious political dramas and also binge true crime shows.
Hmm. That's specific.
Right. By targeting that precise intersection, they boost the show's chances of becoming a hit. It's all about hyper-targeting.
Okay, if AI is curating our entertainment, it's definitely impacting civic life too. The 2025 off-year elections you mentioned.
Yeah, election night coverage is different now. It's not just reporters making calls.
What's AI doing there?
Well, on one level, LLMs were summarizing results fast, you know, county shifts and stuff. But the really critical part, ranking systems.
In our news feeds.
Exactly. Depending on your past clicks, your inferred politics, the AI decided if your feed presented the results as, say, a progressive wave or maybe framed it as a Trump backlash.
Wait, so it's actively creating different realities based on what it thinks we want to see.
That's the feedback loop. It sees what you engage with and shows you more of that. So the narrative you got wasn't objective. It was algorithmically tailored just for you. It's quite something.
That's concerning. But AI was also used for good during that recent crisis,
that's
right?
Okay.
The SNEP issues during the shutdown.
Yes, absolutely. That was a really important application. States used sophisticated AI mapping techniques.
Like what?
Microsimulation, geospatial machine learning. Basically, fancy ways to predict. almost block by block, where food insecurity was likely to spike the fastest. That let them target aid more effectively.
Okay, that makes sense.
And at the same time, they used LLMs to create clear explainers about benefit delays, plus AI fraud detection to protect vulnerable families from phishing scams trying to steal those benefits.
Moving from the public sphere to something really personal, Facebook dating. It's gotten huge.
Yeah, quietly surged to around 21 million daily users. And their edge is Meta's core asset, the social graph.
All our Facebook and Instagram data.
Exactly. Your profile info, who you're connected to, groups you're in, even patterns in your messaging. It all feeds into their compatibility model.
That sounds way more powerful than just swiping on a profile.
It likely is, but the big question it raises is about data use. This normalizes using incredibly intimate data, your dating life, your emotional interactions, to fine-tune advertising and content feeds elsewhere on Facebook and Instagram.
So your dating preferences could influence the ads you see later.
That seems to be the implication. It's like emotional targeting powered by your romantic life, ultimately driving commerce.
Wow. Okay, let's pivot. It's a good word for it. The trillion-dollar pivot. Let's talk about the money. The scale here is just staggering.
Yeah.
OpenAI alone.
It really is mind-boggling. Just look at their infrastructure needs. That massive $38 billion cloud deal with Amazon Web Services, AWS.
That's a big shift from just Microsoft, right?
Huge strategic pivot. They were exclusively tied to Microsoft during their, let's call it, incubation phase. This deal signals they're entering an imperial phase. They're acting like a utility now, playing AWS and Microsoft off each other to ensure they have enough computing power. Redundancy.
And that power costs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The figure floating around is a $1.4 trillion infrastructure build-out.
Mm-hmm.
How does a company even plan for that?
Well, that's where the lobbying comes in. They're essentially trying to get the public to help foot the bill.
Yeah.
They're formally asking the U.S. government to expand the CHIPS Act. That act gives tax credits for building chip factories. OpenAI wants those credits extended to cover AI data centers, servers, even power grid upgrades.
Framing AI infrastructure as critical national infrastructure.
Precisely. To justify using public funds, or at least tax breaks, for their massive private expansion.
And that push led to some awkwardness, didn't it? The CFO mentioning a federal backstop.
Yeah, that was a major gaffe. Sounded like they were expecting a bailout if things went wrong. Politically toxic.
So Sam Altman had to walk it back fast.
He did. Said they don't have or want government guarantees. But, you know, the documents show they did ask for things like loan guarantees in their lobbying efforts. So there's a bit of a contradiction there. They clearly need help managing that $1.4 trillion figure.
Okay, another huge bet. Tesla.
Hmm.
Shareholders approved Elon Musk's massive pay package. Up to $1 trillion, potentially.
Yep. And the sources are clear. This isn't about cars anymore, not really. It's a gigantic bet on AI.
How so? The milestones.
Exactly. The targets he needs to hit for that payout are almost all AI-driven. Deploying 1 million robotaxis, selling 1 million humanoid robots. It legally transforms Tesla, in the eyes of shareholders, into an AI and robotics company, a high-risk venture-stage AI company.
That's a bold valuation.
Yeah.
But surely not everyone's convinced.
No, definitely not. And that brings us to the counterbet. Michael Burry, the Big Short guy.
And is for betting against the housing market.
That's him. He's disclosed over $1 billion in put options, essentially bets against key AI players, NVIDIA and Palantir.
So he thinks it's a bubble.
He's clearly signaling a strong belief that the whole AI hardware and software space is massively overvalued right now, an unsustainable bubble.
And the fight over that hardware, the chips, it's becoming geopolitical. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang had that warning about China.
Yeah, saying China is nanoseconds behind America in AI and will win the AI race.
Is that really about national security or?
It's likely calculated lobbying. He mentioned China's subsidized energy, fewer regulations, but the subtext is clear. U.S. export controls have hammered NVIDIA's sales in China down to basically zero, he said. He wants those controls relaxed.
But the U.S. is going the other way. Tightening things further.
Exactly. They just blocked NVIDIA from selling even its specially designed scaled-down chip, the B30A, to China.
So no more trying to just slow them down.
It looks like a shift towards total decoupling, creating what some are calling a semiconductor iron curtain. If you're not an ally, you don't get the best chips, period.
And speaking of allies, access to these chips is now a diplomatic tool, like Microsoft's deal with the UAE.
That's a prime example. A $15.2 billion investment. And a key part is sending over 60,000 of NVIDIA's top-tier GB300 chips to the UAE.
So chip access is like foreign aid now, but for AI.
It's strategic reward. The U.S. is essentially using companies like Microsoft to build out advanced computing infrastructure in friendly nations while denying it to adversaries.
But while the U.S. guards its expensive closed AI models, there's a threat from open source.
A potentially huge one. Look at Moonshot AI, backed by Alibaba. They released something called Kimi K2 Thinking.
And the claim is?
They claim it's an open source model that performs on par with the best proprietary ones, like GPT-5 or Claude 4.5. If open source can truly match the cutting edge,
it completely undercuts the business model. Why pay top dollar if something just as good is free or cheap?
Exactly. It threatens the entire high-cost, closed ecosystem the U.S. giants are building.
Underneath all this money and geopolitics, there's this intense philosophical battle inside the AI labs themselves. The OpenAI drama, the Sutskever deposition.
Right. Those unsealed documents were revealing. We learned Sutskever, the chief scientist, had apparently been plotting to remove CEO Sam Altman for over a year.
Wow. And the board even considered merging with Anthropic. The murder-suicide idea?
Yeah, that was the term used. The safetyism faction on the board was apparently so concerned about Altman's accelerationist drive towards AGI that they considered merging with a rival, likely destroying both companies just to stop him.
So for them, safety trumped the company itself.
It seems so. The mission to prevent potentially dangerous AI was paramount.
And that safety focus is getting really specific at Anthropic, talking about model welfare.
It is. They're committing to archiving old model weights, even conducting ethical interviews with AIs before shutting them down.
Interviewing an AI.
Yeah, based on concerns about potential risks to model welfare and the idea that advanced AIs might develop self-preservation instincts or shut down avoidant behaviors, they're prepping for containment, essentially.
Microsoft's taking a different path, though.
Yeah.
More pragmatic. Mustafa Suleiman's humanist superintelligence team.
That's a very strategic rebranding. They're shifting focus away from the race for general intelligence, AGI, and focusing on building profitable specialist AIs.
Like medical AI.
Exactly. Superhuman performance in narrow, valuable domains. By explicitly rejecting consciousness research and the AGI race, Microsoft positions itself as the stable, reliable, enterprise-ready partner. Less drama, more profit.
And Google. They're tackling a technical problem called catastrophic forgetting with nested learning. What's that about?
Catastrophic forgetting is a major headache. When you teach current AIs something new, they often forget stuff they learned before, like short-term memory loss.
Meaning you have to constantly retrain the whole thing, which is expensive.
Hugely expensive. Nested learning is Google's attempt to fix that. It mimics how the brain learns, allowing different parts of the AI to update at different rates, enabling continuous learning without wiping previous knowledge, more efficient.
Okay, so while these big philosophical and technical battles are fought, AI is just quietly taking over the business world.
The data suggests a real tipping point. That Wharton study found 75% of businesses using AI are already seeing a positive return on investment.
And usage is exploding.
Yeah. OpenAI now has over 1 million paying business customers, over 7 million people using ChatGPT for work. That's 40% growth in just 2 months. It's becoming standard.
And it's hitting professional services hard. Law, accounting, the pyramid becoming a diamond.
That's the metaphor, yeah. The broad base of junior staff doing routine data work that gets automated, you're left with senior partners, mid-level managers supervising the AI, and maybe some junior AI wranglers.
So the entry-level path changes completely.
Drastically.
Yeah.
Look at Cognizant, a huge IT services firm. They're deploying Anthropic's Claude model to their entire workforce, 350,000 employees. That's automation at scale.
And that idea of AI agents making purchases for us, agentic commerce, that's happening too.
The Shopify data seems to confirm it. They reported an 11x increase in actual purchases directly attributed to AI search results. People aren't just using AI to browse. They're trusting it to buy.
Okay, lots of hype, lots of adoption, but there has to be a reality check, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the limits now?
Reliability is the big one. There was this benchmark, the Remote Labor Index. They gave AI agents complex tasks that real freelancers get paid for.
Yeah.
The AIs failed 97% of the time. They have the capability in theory, but applying it reliably to complex, multi-step, real-world tasks, still a huge gap.
So we need tools for humans, not just replacements.
Exactly. That's why we're seeing things like code maps from Cognition. It's AI that helps human engineers understand complex software by creating visual maps rather than trying to write the code itself. Augmentation, not just automation yet for complex. complex stuff.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize this whole trillion-dollar pivot. What's the big picture takeaway for you?
It's the sheer cost of entry. It's astronomical. That's driving consolidation. OpenAI needing AWS, Microsoft cozying up to the UAU, and it's forcing this intense geopolitical game around who gets the best chips. Every single sector is feeling it now, from copyright law.
Right. Stability AI winning that Getty case in the UK.
Yeah, that's huge for generative AI. Corporate strategies to how nations interact, it's everywhere.
And we'll end on a really juicy detail you found, Apple and Google.
Yeah, this is pretty stunning. Apple is reportedly finalizing a deal to pay Google around $1 billion a year.
To use what?
To use Google's Gemini AI model to power the big Siri revamp that's expected next spring, 2026.
Wow. Apple paying Google for core AI. That's an admission.
It's a huge admission that Apple's internal models aren't quite there yet for what they want Siri to do. They need Google's power.
But Apple's whole brand is privacy. How do they square that?
That's the clever part. They plan to run Google's Gemini model, but on Apple's own secure servers, their private cloud compute infrastructure.
Ah, so they can claim user data isn't going to Google, even though it's Google's AI doing the work.
Exactly. It's a way to mask this massive partnership behind their privacy shield. It ties everything together, the insane costs, the tech's importance, the corporate maneuvering.
Okay, finally, something for you, our listener, to think about. There's this AI artist, Dzania Monet. Just hit number 30 on the Billboard Adult R&B Airplay chart.
Right. And the interesting thing is, a human poet writes 100% of the lyrics. But the music, the sound, that's generated using the AI platform Suno, which acts as the instrument.
So human lyrics, AI music, gets radio play, charts on Billboard. What does that actually mean for defining artistry, for ownership? Who's the artist here? Is Suno a collaborator or just a tool like a synthesizer?
Definitely something to mull over. Where does human creativity end and AI begin, especially when it achieves mainstream success like this? Lots to think about there.
That wraps up our AI Weekly Rundown. The strategic takeaway is clear. From Mega Millions jackpots to the Supreme Court, AI is now mission-critical infrastructure. Every piece of news this week, from the Facebook dating surprise hit to the use of micro-simulation for SNAP benefits, proves that models are deployed at mass scale, often handling sensitive, high-impact decisions. For enterprise builders, this means governance and compliance must match the ubiquity of these systems. When a dating matching engine fuses social graph data or a fraud model steers families away from phishing, the need for secure, auditable, and scalable AI infrastructure is non-negotiable. If you are leading your organization through this shift, this message is for you. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the challenge of getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs and VPs of engineering. Don't wait. Secure your mid-roll spot immediately. The link is in the show notes. If this analysis helped inform your strategy this week, please take a moment right now and like and subscribe to AI Unraveled. We'll be back on Monday.